advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with me, Todd.
You say funny things.
Take a sip of the old Mountain Dew.
Yeah, yep.
What'd you drink over there?
Cask Isle.
Again?
And Red Bull. I told you it's my favorite. I'm going to finish this one.
Nobody needs to send any more whiskey.
You guys tricked me. You started drinking whiskey, and then you guys quit, and now I'm just the alcoholic over here. I have 3 bottles, 4 bottles, and you guys have no glasses.
Yeah.
And you're drinking mineral water.
So did you hear that? Did you hear that, Dave?
I am drinking mineral water.
He just admitted. He said he's the alcoholic.
He did.
I barely even drink. I drink on Sunday, and that little bit you saw.
Tell yourself that.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Okay, fine. I had a couple beers last night.
Slippery slope.
Yep.
PBR man's going to back me up when he gets here.
Well, maybe.
How many PBRs does it take to get drunk, though? A lot, I think.
Probably. It's like water.
I don't know.
It's diminishing.
I've never had
diminishing
it.
Returns.
I've never had it. I heard
it just makes
like,
you pee until you're not
like
drunk
shit.
Anymore. I don't know. I don't know if I've had that.
I haven't either.
I've had it. It tastes
like beer.
We have a fan, PBR man. You should check him out on Facebook. He has a full costume and refers to himself like he's The Rock, but PBR man instead. And he's on his way.
Do you smell what he's drinking? Is that what he says?
That's right.
Do you smell what the PBR man is drinking?
So he's headed across the United States, not to see us. He's on like an adventure, but I don't think Bakersfield was on his list until the podcast. So he is making his way through and going to leave us a 6-pack. And he's giving Brad $2. Apparently Brad asked for $2 at some point.
I need more than that now.
Now that you're coming, I mean, you know.
You made it this far. You might as well hit the ATM.
Make it worthwhile for me.
Yeah.
200 is good.
I had food poisoning or it's probably a stomach flu. It lasted like 3 days. I don't know. It was bad news on Tuesday.
Really?
And I think at first I thought it was food poisoning, but I think in retrospect it was probably a stomach bug. But I woke up on Tuesday at like technically Wednesday, I guess, 2 a.m. Went to sleep Tuesday night. Woke up at 2 a.m. with that. Oh, my stomach is about to do something horrible.
You're
feeling
right.
Laying in bed. And I was like, okay, I'll weather it through and try to fall back asleep. And then about 5 minutes later, it was like sprint to the toilet, throw up. I only threw up once, thankfully. And then it was just like from 2 a.m. until 6 a.m, just on the toilet, pure diarrhea mode. This is all going somewhere.
Pee out your butt. That's
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So by, I teach my prison class on Wednesday mornings at 8, and there's no one to call.
You were cleansing your colon for that lucky prisoner, weren't you?
There's no one to call to cancel. I just show up.
Right.
So it's like they would have just hauled in a bunch of prisoners who would have been sitting there with nothing to do, and then they would have hauled them back. There's no one to call. There's no way to cancel the class. By about 6 o'clock, I felt like, okay, my bowels are completely empty. Like there is nothing left in my body, and I felt stable. I knew I couldn't eat anything. So I get in the car, and the prison's 45 minutes away, so I have to leave by like 6:45 to get there at 7:30. So I hit the road. All I take is a club soda with me to have no breakfast and driving. And about halfway there, it's a 45-minute drive. About halfway there, I'm like, oh, nope, still something in me. So I have a tragic truck stop shit scenario. You know? And
you should have did a spinning
kick.
Yeah, I should have.
Spinning
I should've,
shit kick.
I should have.
Like, you should have just fucking took out a trucker. Just like got out, spinning shit kick out a trucker, got back in your car and drove. Yeah, he'd been like, what the fuck?
What the dirty poo-poo fuck?
I did.
What?
What?
Brad just tried to be good and then, yeah.
Yeah, it ended real quick. Sorry.
That did. So, but I clinch it up. I'm like, I'm halfway there. I'm getting to the prison. So I get to the prison. I'm feeling better.
Did you go at the truck stop?
Oh, yeah. I went at the truck stop.
All right.
So I get to the prison. I get out. And, like, from the point you park till the point you're, like, in the actual education wing in the block I'm in is about a 20-minute process. You have to go through multiple checkpoints. And as soon as I get out of the car and start walking, I'm like, oh, good God. Like, this is not good. So I walk up and, like, the front gate that you go through, like, the main place, which you just – I walk in. I show them my ID. They give me an ID. I sign. I walk past. That's what happens. I walk up. There's a sign that's out that says sniffers on training, randomizer in use.
There's dogs going to sniff your diarrhea butt.
So I walk up and and sign in, do everything. And he's like, oh, I almost forgot. The sniffer dogs are training, so you have to use the randomizer. I have no idea what you're talking about. So there's this big red button, like a game show button, with a green and red light above it. And I'm about to shit my pants. And you hit the big red button, and then it goes green, red, green, red, green, red, green, red, green, red.
Price is right.
Red.
Right.
Yeah. And then they're like, okay, you got to step next door and get checked for drugs. Because there's no sniffer dogs on the premises. And I'm about to shit my fucking pants. So I walk next door and there's two guards in there.
Spread them.
And they go through my backpack entirely. And I'm sitting there and they swab my hand and they swab my backpack with these things to put in a machine to check for like residue. And I'm sitting there. I'm sweating.
Right.
I'm like squirming around and I'm sitting there and they're looking right. I mean, I can just see them looking at me and they're like, this motherfucker is nervous right now. Yeah. And I'm sitting there.
Have drugs
on I'm
you.
Like, oh my God, they are about to put on a rubber glove.
You should have told them, check my ass.
They are about to. I was
as
like,
soon as you said you had to go to the bathroom, they would have been like,
no, exactly. So bucket. I'm just like, this is not good. Like they're both giving me that eye. I'm like, if a rubber glove comes out, some bad shit is going on. Literally. There's a fucking blowhole scenario. They're going to be two very unhappy prison guards.
They just make you shit in a colander.
I kind of gritted down and then the machine beeped and they were like, you're clear, sir. And then I kind of butt puckered, half sprinted all the way. And then I got the delight of taking a prison diarrhea shit.
Oh, nice. Man.
So it was a wonderful Wednesday morning. Yeah, I probably did. So that was my Wednesday.
I had all kinds of things I was going to say, but after that, I forgot
everything. Yeah. I was just picturing Dave shitting all over two prison guards.
Yeah, so was I. while I was standing in the room.
Like a Japanese cat porn. Dave's pants are down.
It's funny though, because the whole butt
Ichiban,
thing.
Ichiban.
It really comes into play in your scenario.
No, I don't think I've ever in my never been closer. Yeah, I've never been closer.
I've been watching a lot of anime lately too.
Yeah.
I watched the Afro Samurai. Have you seen that with Samuel L. Jackson? Mm-hmm. It's great.
He's really the voice?
Mm-hmm. He's one of the guys, yeah.
Yeah.
RZA did the production.
Before I forget, there's a family in the UK listening to us, and that makes me nervous. Yeah. Like a whole family. I was like, what age is this family?
Can I say their name wrong?
Yes, yeah, I knew you would. Let me say it right, and you go ahead and just blow it away.
Are you sure you know how to say it?
If it's the same people.
All right, well.
Is it Lee Beat and the Beat family from Birmingham?
The Beats?
Yeah, the Beats.
Yeah. I guess we can't really say it wrong.
I was sure you're going to masturbate all over it or something. Like, it's a family. I was worried about
family
it.
Of okay, master beats.
There you go.
Well, the master beaters.
I'm glad I shared my prison shit story with the whole family.
There you go, Lee. And to the family over there in the UK.
Hi, kids.
Huge fans. Yeah. I have a feeling it's not kids, though. I don't know.
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't actually have their Facebook. Someone also.
Since they're in England, I'm picturing like a Willy Wonka
email
family.
That's hilarious, though. Did you get that email? It says, hey guys, like it's like Sophie King Podcast new email. It says, hey guys, looking for dominations. And I was like, is that like rubber ball or did he mess up and he needs money for a good cause? I'm not sure what's going on with
domination,
gimp mask and a charity. But I told him, need more information, ?
Right.
So I have yet to get a response. Yeah.
I don't know. We have some, I don't know. Dave says Icelandic, maybe something Nordic, and Sanavi Gunderson, maybe on Twitter, tell us where you guys are at. There's a couple guys, Nye Eric. So just shout out to them. Tone Tomato, Tone Tomate.
I think Gunderson is Norwegian.
Maybe.
I think so.
So are we right? Are you Norwegian?
I don't know.
Shout out to Norway.
In Hell on Wheels, a guy's last name is Gunderson.
What about Tomte?
And everybody calls him the Swede, and he always corrects him and says he's from Norway.
What about Tone Tomte? Tomate.
Tone Loke.
No.
We also need a Yucateco shout out. And
yep.
go. We'll do it after the diarrhea story, not before.
Yes.
The Great Dadsby took a picture of some El Yucateco, the Great Dadsby on
Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram. We've talked about him before. Apparently, he drove 300 miles. I'm going to assume he had something else he needed to buy.
Why?
But
there's a fucking internet.
I don't understand this. Amazon. But
I just got into a thing with some guys. Fucking internet. Like, well, order it.
It's expensive where I live. Internet.
You can also take a bus to Machu Picchu, but 7 days on the Incan Trail would be cooler if you earned it. So it might have been a rite of passage of hot sauce or something. Maybe. He went on a vision quest. He ate some edibles and like drove 300 miles to get Yucateco. I'm pretty sure that's how it went down.
Did he see the size of that chicken?
He did.
Okay. Probably. I don't know. Probably a dragon or two.
So speaking of driving.
Yes.
My segue. Bonnie and Clyde.
We're not doing that this episode. It's the other one.
No, it's Bonnie and Clyde.
Okay.
I didn't know much about this until going into it, and I didn't realize how much law enforcement had changed.
Oh, my God. It was a joke.
Yeah. I was like, how did they not get caught?
Yeah.
Like, they're like, hey, man, they're on their way over to you, like, as they cross state line after state line. And it was like the Dukes of Hazzard shit where it was like, oh, man, you get to the sign where it's like, now leaving Oklahoma City limits.
And then you just couldn't follow them.
Well, Hoss, there they go. They got away again.
Like, and it wasn't even like they didn't get caught. They just kept getting caught and getting sprung and breaking out.
But how ridiculous is it when the cop just stops? They're like, there they go. Hoss, we can't get them. What was the worst that was going to happen if they crossed the line and caught the most notorious criminals in the nation?
If they caught them, they get
running
shot.
Rampant.
They get shot dead.
Probably. That might have a lot to do with
when,
it.
When you have military power machine guns,
they're all okay.
And the police at this time, this is the, you know, not safe to be black people times.
Yes.
So thank you. Who said that on Twitter? I better give him a shout out, huh? That was a fan on Twitter.
I'll cut the shit off. Know. I'll cut it off.
You cut it off right now. You do it right now.
Don't be retarded.
Walter Bailey. So thank you. Not safe to be black people times, yes. And then safe to be black people times.
I don't know if it's even that time yet. It's like semi safe to be black people times.
No, I think it was safe to be black people times, and now I think we're entering not safe to be black people if there's a cop around time.
Yeah. That's the new. No, this is in the 30s.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is 29, 30.
Yeah.
So they actually broke into military like supplies,
armories,
and stole machine guns,
yes,
Browning machine guns. So, so when you're a cop and the police at this time had to buy their own weapons,
I saw that. I was like, that is
and
crazy.
And supply their own cars, so yeah. or drive whatever was given to them.
They're on nice 22,
yeah.
Jimmy.
Yeah, exactly. So they got old cars that are probably four cylinders.
And it's the Depression. No one has any money. Yeah. That's a substantial expense for someone to buy a gun.
Clyde goes around stealing V8s.
Right. Yeah.
So he can actually go 70 miles an hour.
Yeah, they said if he had a 5-minute head start in that car, he was just gone.
Couldn't catch him.
You're not going to get him.
That is a good point. If I'm chasing this guy with my fucking trusty 22, I'm kind of just keeping my distance. I'm like, how far are we from the border? Like 6 miles.
Yeah, just let him
go. Stay behind him.
Yeah, because if he's gone,
Chief, he crossed the border.
Yeah.
That motherfucker with the submachine gun crossed the border.
Since he's leaving a trail of dead bodies.
Came back. So I didn't know that it was like a whole gang. Like, it wasn't just Bonnie and Clyde,
right.
It was the Barrow gang.
That surprised
me as
well.
Group of them, and Bonnie and Clyde were usually involved, but it was traditionally a bigger group than just the two of them.
When his brother was in prison, maybe we should start from the beginning, kind of.
Yeah, let's start. We'll start back. So this whole era, like, I'm kind of interested in it because I saw a couple of articles refer to it as the public enemy era, and they talked about people like Dillinger and Pretty Boy Floyd and Bonnie and Clyde and just these people who were just driving around robbing shit, shooting people.
The opportunity your opportunity in life was low. Like,
right.
you didn't have a good chance
depression.
Of getting a job.
There was no money, no jobs,
so your
no food.
Chances to get money was, you know, break the law.
Right.
And there was a great chance you're probably going to get away with it based off that, you know?
And there's no, I mean,
prohibition's going on.
Cops aren't in touch with each other via radio. So if you leave a town, you're just got away.
No helicopter.
You know, there's, you know, cars are everywhere. The roads are paved. It's like, there's better guns.
All the cars look the same. I noticed it's like black cars that look like that. You know what I mean?
They all have yellow wheels and a black car. Yeah.
So the two that everybody focuses on are Bonnie and Clyde. They're the ones who became the famous ones out of the gang. And it's Bonnie Elizabeth Parker. And she was born to a bricklayer in like a decent, you know, not wealthy, but, you know, middle class family. But then he died when she was only four and they moved to the luxurious Cement City, Texas.
Mm-hmm. And apparently even amongst like the, it was probably one of the poorest cities in the nation. Even and that's it, during the Great Depression.
Yeah.
That's saying
so,
something.
So it was worse than worse.
That's like eat your shoe and lick the glue off wallpaper.
So they lived in Cement City. And apparently she was dinky. She was like 4'11", 90 pounds. She was just like this little petite thing.
Right.
And she ended up marrying a guy when she was 16 named Roy Thornton, who was already a criminal.
Right.
Like he was already robbing and doing stuff. And apparently he was a drunk and he would beat her and he would do all this stuff. But she kept like coming back to him and he ended up getting arrested. And, in 1927, and apparently she still like she even died, and she was still wearing his wedding ring, which I found odd.
Through this whole span with Clyde, she had the wedding ring on.
Yeah, and this guy, this cat was sitting
and
in
you
jail.
See, he commented from jail when they found
him.
Yeah, he actually said, "I'm glad they went out that way. It's a lot better than getting caught." Like apparently, the prisons were just
fucking
not good back then.
Well, and we'll get into where Clyde was. I mean, they
would injure themselves and stuff to try to get out, get to an infirmary. Yeah. Like it was crazy.
So she came up from a rough upbringing but again, she was supposedly good in school. She wrote poems, which is one of the reasons that she sort of became famous because of some of her poems. But, she just kind of fell in with a bad crowd and did all this stuff, but she wasn't sort of the innate criminal that the others were. But then Clyde Barrow, and apparently his middle name was Chestnut, but he started signing everything Champion.
Yeah.
Clyde Champion.
That's my
Barrow,
kind of guy. I do that too. Motherfucking or Champion.
Yeah. Actually, well, my son's middle name is Legend.
See, so he's already good.
Yeah. Oh, I believe that. Though. That's true.
Yeah.
Middle names suck. You got to have a cool middle.
You got to have a cool middle name.
Because everybody's like, really? That's your middle name? Yeah.
Fuck yeah, it is.
That's right.
But yeah, so Clyde Chestnut changed his name to Clyde Champion. And he was the sixth of eight children, and he was born to tenement farmers who lost their – anybody who's born to tenement farmers, the story isn't going to go well.
No. Dude,
born as a tenement farmer, and boy, did that farm blow up.
Literally.
What is a tenement farmer anyway?
They didn't own their own land. They just had to farm on a lease for other people.
It's like migrant workers or something. So they lived under their wagon. Did you see that?
No.
So as a child, when they were farmers, they lived under their wagon until their – until the great day that their dad earned enough money to buy him a tent. And then their life improved greatly.
Holy shit. Yeah.
They lived under a wagon and then finally saved up enough money to get a family tent.
This is why I don't complain about not having any money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, you see like those old like Looney Tunes cartoons where someone's like eating a shoe and like all this stuff about how hungry everybody was. And it's like, this is that shit right here.
They really ate their belt.
These motherfuckers were poor. Yeah.
People would peel like wallpaper because there was glue, and the glue was made out of like horse bones or something in it. Yeah.
Had some sort of nutrition, eating dirt,
wallpaper.
Yeah, they did they would do the same thing in
in America. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you hear about that in like the siege of Stalingrad.
It's not even that far.
You know, but it's like, no.
That's during grandma times.
Yeah. Yeah. You had one pea split like four or five ways. That's like you get a fifth of the pea tonight.
Yeah. So just poor as fuck. But then apparently they caught a break because when he was 12, his dad ended up being able to build a gas station and opened up a gas station. And apparently that led to part of Clyde's success as a criminal because he was good at repairing cars. He was good at driving cars and he knew the roads. He knew the way cars work just because of the garage aspect.
That building's still there. It's a house or something now. Yeah.
So,
and that's how he knew if he had a V8, he could beat any four cylinder.
Right. Right.
You know, so.
Because at the time, I mean, cars weren't super common around then. So a lot of people just didn't even drive. They still used horse and buggies or rode horses or whatever. And this guy was driving from 12 because of the gas station.
Yep.
And he was notorious as being a really good driver and he could outdrive everybody and cut off on roads and do all kinds of crazy stunts that the cops just couldn't keep up with him.
There was a story about him missing the road out ahead bridge under construction. Did you see that?
Oh, I saw that. We'll save that for later because it plays into the end of things.
He was like the Dale Earnhart Jr. of his time.
He kind of
even went out in a blaze.
Isn't that senior?
Yeah. Senior. Sorry. Yeah.
Get around, man. There's the whole.
I don't know. I don't watch NASCAR.
A whole bunch of NASCAR guys just turned this shit off. They're like, Brad is fucking out, man.
I'm all hopped up.
Did he just say JR did that, man?
Yeah. I'm all hopped up on Mountain Dew.
Thought you were white, man.
No, I'm like fourth tier white.
I didn't know there were tiers.
Yeah, there's tiers. Like, you have like some black people are like, you're 14.
This is
white.
A moment is happening right now, just so you know. This is a highlight happening. Is it?
No, there's like, you're fourth tier white. Like, okay. You're not really black.
Right.
You're fourth tier white. You're a college professor. So you're fourth tier white. You don't get white privilege because you're not like tier one.
Right.
But you're fourth. So I'm actually fourth tier white also because I'm not black, but I'm not one tier white, you know,
economic so, classification. Yeah.
Brent is tier one white.
How the fuck am I tier one?
Look at you.
Yeah. Look at yourself.
I'm not like the 1% over here.
A business owner wants to move to Oregon. You know, blonde hair, blue eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. I do have this. If the three of us were all stopped by cops,
you're the one that's not getting questioned.
You're the one who's cool.
Yeah.
Stay in the car, sir.
Yeah, sir.
You too. Are you okay? Out of the car.
Are you okay? Blink if you need help.
I know we're way off topic, but did the Berlin fan guy, did you guys talk about that?
No.
No.
Super quick, because it leads into the next thing, because I have a question for you guys. So Dave had mentioned our friend put a sticker at Checkpoint Charlie in Berlin. There's a picture of an American soldier at that checkpoint. He contacted us and listens to the show and apparently was like, hey, that's me. Like, I'm the guy.
Like, it's a famous, yeah. Like, there's
famous
a
picture.
There's a soldier. Picture my in the middle of Berlin where Checkpoint Charlie was. And yeah. On one side is the American soldier. On one side is the other side.
And on brochures and pamphlets, my buddy Pat said after telling him that, he was amazed. But he was like, that picture's everywhere. So right. He's like, yeah. Let me see. Where's his Facebook? And I told him where he's at. But that guy said, if we run for president, vice president, and pope, that
he's going to vote for us.
He will vote for us. Right. And then immediately Brad said,
no, Dave said vice president.
Dibs on
I
vice
got
president.
Dibs on vice
he said
president.
Dibs on pope. I was like, okay, I guess I'll just take president.
Right.
But somehow you guys are tricking me. I'm tier one white and I get to be president if you pick.
Yeah. Makes sense.
That's right.
You guys are tricking me.
I went tricking straight you. For vice president. Fuck that shit.
You just want to sit in the back.
Fuck
and be quiet?
That shit. I'm not going to
be
all
the
that
pope
president
because I get to be by myself with little kids and I can choke the shit out of them.
Oh, here come these crude cartoon drawings of Brad in a pope outfit. I can't wait.
I already have the same Brad.
I'm picturing like when Homer Simpson chokes Bart.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm picturing, but you're in a pope hat.
One of our fans, Sam Lingle,
actually. Well, what I'll do is actually it'll be from behind. So if any of the other like dudes walk in, they won't think anything's going on funny. It'll just
right.
Be like
it'll just be the
kid.
It'll be the normal.
Yeah, it'd be normal.
Normal pope stance.
But I'll be actually choking them with the whole WWF, you know, headlock, you know, they'll be reaching for the crowd and trying to get power.
Yeah. So Bonnie and Clyde. So Clyde grows up and his older brother, Buck, which isn't his real name, but I forget. I think it was Henry or something, but he Melvin. Goes by the name Buck. What was it?
Melvin.
But he was already a criminal. He'd already gone to jail. He got Clyde into crime, and their first big caper was stealing turkeys
and selling them.
So they got arrested. And again, I'm looking at it. It's like they steal a bunch of turkeys. They get arrested for the turkeys.
Yeah.
Buck does a week. And then Clyde just gets off.
Clyde had already been in trouble one time before him, though. He didn't turn in a car. He rented a car. There's car rentals back then. But he didn't turn it in on time, which I think is like, I stole a car, got caught. I was like, I was just bringing it back right now. Like, I was about to bring it. I'm just late.
Yeah. So, but even then, it's like.
What's crazy, though, this is times where you get, like, in Britain, you could actually get prosecuted for being homosexual.
Yes.
Like, that's how crazy this shit is.
No, I mean, I'm just picturing, like, you stole a bunch of turkeys from a farm and you're selling them and your sentence is a week in the local jail. Like that doesn't happen now. No. Like that's a totally different
system. He's like, I'm hungry. I either steal some turkeys or I get arrested and get three square meals. Like either way I'm getting fed.
Right.
So I'm going to go for the turkeys because it's exciting and fun.
Right.
Maybe I get away with it. If I don't, I still eat.
So these two are both in Dallas, Bonnie and Clyde, and they end up meeting in January of 1930. They meet at a party, and apparently all the historical documents that I said where they just clicked right away. They were like super close to each other right away. And he was very shortly after they met, he got arrested and was sentenced for 2 years. And I didn't see what he got arrested for on that time. just some dumb shit, because most of the crimes bank were robbery. Just dumb shit. Was it a bank robbery?
Yeah, they robbed a bank, and then he went and they chased him, you know, whatever, and he got caught.
Okay.
But so Clyde was with him. It was the Buck and Clyde.
Okay, Buck and Clyde together. Yep. So Clyde gets arrested and
no, Buck.
Well, no, at this point, Clyde gets arrested.
Oh, yeah.
This is the one where Clyde gets arrested and he gets sentenced to 2 years. And again, it just talks about the type of jail and whatever. Bonnie smuggles him in a gun, so he just breaks out. Like, she goes to visit him in jail, gives him a gun, and he breaks out with his gun. And then, again, gets fucking caught, and then gets sentenced to 14 years because now he broke out of jail with a gun. And he gets... Yeah, at Eastham Prison Farm, which is apparently this notoriously brutal jail. Yeah. And so you can imagine.
It's not even really a jail. It was a farm.
It's a farm. It's like a prison farm.
You go out and you dig and fucking whatever else.
In horrible conditions. Yeah. If normal folk have no food, the prisoners have shit.
Yeah.
You know, but it was just beatings and whippings and dysentery and badness at this prison farm.
And anal rape.
And yeah, you mentioned it. So he is the.
Well, this is supposedly kind of what, because he wasn't a violent criminal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Clyde was a robber. You know, he stole chickens. Turkeys, he stole
cracked,
money.
Crack safes.
Yeah, he cracked safes. He stole cars. You know, just he was just a common thief. And supposedly, like, the historians go back and they're looking at this now. This Eastham prison farm was where he actually killed his first victim, which was the guy who raped him.
And it's unofficially not recorded because someone else took the blame for it. Yep. He talked a lifer into taking the blame for it so he could get out and continue, because he's like, you're here anyway. Right. You're going to stay.
And that guy was raping everybody.
Yeah.
This was like a guy who was like in there just like, come here, boy.
He beat the guy with a lead pipe. The other guy took the blame for it. So that was actually his first murder.
Right.
So they're thinking. So that created his first kill.
Wow.
So fun times.
Yeah, fun times in Eastham Prison.
Eastmont High.
So the prison is so fucking bad that he devises a brilliant way to get out. Did you guys
not even get out, just to get away with out of hard labor.
Right.
Yeah. And people would do this too, just if a guard had it out for you. I guess the guards would just mistreat the shit out of you. If they had your number and they wanted to screw with you, your life was just misery on top of getting sexually assaulted and having to do hard labor on a farm and eating shit, you know, whatever it's going to be. Then the guard has it out for you. So they would inflict self-injury, and Dave will continue with.
So he had a friend of his cut off some of his toes with an axe.
Two of his toes with an axe.
So they're hacking and trees and
so that he could get out of hard labor. And then did you see what his mom had done?
No.
Bonnie and his mom were writing letters to the governor. He was about to get pardoned.
There was a successful petition that got him out 6 days later after he chopped his own fucking thing. Yeah.
So,
and then he limped for the rest of his life. Yeah.
Well, and supposedly, like, in the movie, I don't know. I know there's a bunch of Bonnie and Clyde's movies, but the one I watched, which I watched the documentary too, but the movie, Bonnie wanted to keep it a secret or something, and they didn't tell him. So he ended up chopping his toe. Yeah. No. Surprise. You got no toes, but you're out. Like, he's like, why didn't anybody tell me?
I don't know how
true that
right,
is, but
right.
You know, like, cause the movie, if you watch the movie, everything was opposite from the actual like documentary. So,
right. What the,
it's like they're trying to dramatize it. Everything. Yeah.
So. Even some of the dramatization and documentaries that I watched conflicted, like they embellished on some of the stories.
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah.
But so at this point, the Barrow gang really kind of blows up. And so it's usually Bonnie and Clyde. One of the tightest guys in the gang is a guy named W.D. Jones. And then it's Buck, Clyde's brother. And then Blanche, Buck's wife, are like the main guys for the most of the Barrow gang run. There's another guy named Ray Hamilton, who's there early on but gets arrested. And then towards the end, there's a guy named Henry Methvin who joins them. But so it's not
Methvin was actually with them in the beginning and then did some stuff with them later, like, and then harbored them towards the end too. So Methvin's kind of was there throughout, but WD was only 16 years old.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Those were gangster back then.
Yeah. No, dude, they were all young. Yeah. I mean, even
20, 24.
Yeah. Even Blanche.
Buck was 31 at the end.
Because at the end, wow, that means that he was like robbing the cradle. Because when Blanche finally gets arrested at the very end, her final mugshot, she's only 22.
Yeah.
So he was rocking the cradle.
I think like 14, 16 was.
Yeah, very, that was probably legal back then.
I think before he went, because he met Blanche before he went to prison the first time, the 2 years that he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she was like 17 or something like that, or 16. But back then, that was like,
yeah, that was age. Yeah, that was fun. Because I mean, so. Bonnie got married at 16 yeah. anyway. I think that was totally legit. So Clyde gets out of prison with a couple of toes light. And then they just start doing stuff. And this is the first time Bonnie gets involved in a crime. Shortly after he gets out, they immediately robbed a hardware store, and Bonnie was in the car. So they get away, but Bonnie gets arrested because she's sitting in the car while they're robbing the hardware store.
And again, this is their first robbery together on April 30th. 1932. It's my birthday, 50 years. So nice. Church of Satan, Bonnie and Clyde on my birthday.
Nice. Their first robbery. That's cool. So she gets released because of lack of evidence. But again, I mean, they're just like, because I thought like everything that I'd seen of Bonnie and Clyde, A, I thought it was just Bonnie and Clyde. And B, I thought they were like robbing banks and making a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
And neither of those things are true.
I think that's what everybody. Right.
Yeah.
They were
always rolling in a gang with multiple people, and they weren't that good at robbing banks.
Banks didn't have any money. Like right, that's Depression. True. Right. Like they rob a bank and they're like $46, but a house is like $5,000. So $46. Right.
But they were known to rob gas stations, hardware stores.
There was no Netflix. So there was a lot of romanticism and embellishments going on, newspaper, media, blowing it up. The stories going across.
Everybody wanted to see the story.
Yeah. Her with a cigar in her mouth and a freaking Tommy gun or something. Like everyone had this vision.
Those pictures are badass, though.
Those pictures are cool.
Yeah. The pictures are pretty great.
But more of it comes to light when, like Brad mentioned earlier, when they finally get the letters later, and then they put back into perspective what the motivations were behind their spree, because a lot of it honestly was just fueled to go get revenge on that prison.
Yeah.
That was his main motivation for most of that shit. Yeah. He wanted to be like the most notorious bank robber and then go back and like siege the prison and kill every guard and get as many prisoners out as he could.
Yeah.
That was his whole
Those guards were dicks, dude.
Yeah. Like, in the beginning, that was his entire motivation. So, but it just kind of becomes.
Well, and he said he'll die before he goes back.
Right.
You know, that's how bad it was.
He did say that. He did. Yeah.
Rather be dead than be back in there. Yeah.
And this though, up here, this is still way before they're famous. This is like the beginning of their crime spree. And while Bonnie is in jail because of that, because she was in the car, again, Clyde and Raymond Hamilton, one of the earlier guys, go and rob a general store. It goes south. They shoot the owner, a guy named John Butcher, and kill him. And this kind of begins the crime spree. So but throughout their whole crime spree, apparently they killed, from what I read, a total of 13
people. See, there's even a discrepancy there.
Yeah, I saw.
Because Clyde supposedly was in the car.
Just
and
right.
Two of his buddies went into the store because he knew the store owner, so he didn't want to get where the store owner would be like, right. Oh, I know that's Clyde.
Right.
So the other two guys went in, and one of them shot the guy, shot Aaron Burr, right?
Yeah, and I was just going to make that joke. Look at us.
Aaron Burr!
Both Brad and I only know that because of the peanut butter commercial, and it goes the other way.
Yeah,
though.
I have no idea.
Burr shot Hamilton, the other way.
Oh, my bad. But anyway, so there's a discrepancy there. So, I mean, still, I mean, the guy got shot.
Right.
They were involved. The gang.
And this is definitely a research endeavor of contradictory statements.
Yeah.
Like everything that you read was slightly off from everything else that you read.
And we mentioned that this is like they were writing stories about this in the paper, and nobody would turn in Bonnie and Clyde if they saw them.
Right.
Because they were like heroes.
Heroes. Eventually.
They were calling him Robin Hood.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So,
yeah.
So, that's probably why you didn't get the full story.
And I think also, I mean, I think another thing that you run into is they've really become like, I don't know, not urban legends, but they've become like part of this Americana. It's like
you go to Vegas and their car's there.
Right. Exactly. So it's like, I think there's a lot of myths and a lot of half truths about them that everyone just assumes are true that
they were cooler than they weren't as cool as they say
right,
they were.
Right. Yeah. So they go on a crime spree, And again, this is the one of the only things they do that is smart, because they kind of just come off as dumbasses. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just constantly fucking up and getting arrested and fucking up and getting arrested. But they go on a crime spree, and they tend to stick to Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Louisiana, and New Mexico. And they tend to always stay near the border because, like we were talking
there's
about, the
circle.
Cops.
Yeah, there's a circle.
Yeah, and the cops had no jurisdiction. They couldn't cross the border and they couldn't pursue. So they would always do crimes near borders, so that they were only a couple of miles away from getting away, yeah. Right? And they would always swap cars. Like, he was a huge car fan. He was always stealing better and nicer cars, swapping license plates so that they couldn't find him, et cetera. And did you guys see the letter that he wrote to Henry Ford?
I did not see that.
He wrote a letter to Henry Ford, like at the height of his popularity, he wrote a letter. And it's Tulsa. I didn't catch what year, but Tulsa, Oklahoma. And this is at the top. Tulsa, Oklahoma, 10th of April, Mr. Henry Ford, Detroit, Michigan. Dear sir, and this is written by Clyde. Dear sir, while I still have got breath in my lungs, I will tell you what a dandy car you make. I have drove Fords excessively when I could get away with one. For sustained speed and freedom from trouble, the Ford has got ever other cars skinned, and even if my business hasn't been strictly legal, it don't hurt anything to tell you what a fine car you got in the V8. Yours truly, Clyde Champion Borrow.
That's awesome. I like Fords. I'm gonna get the license plate. It's gonna say Clyde.
So he was a big Ford fan, and he even wrote Henry to thank him for making the V8s that kept him out. So he goes on this crime spree, and then the first shootout, and this is where they really get famous, is at this apartment. So Buck gets out of jail in 1933, and Buck and his wife Blanche, and then Bonnie and Clyde share an apartment in Joplin, Missouri. Did you guys read about
that? Yeah, this is like a gang capital.
Yeah.
This is a bad area.
Yeah. So they're sharing an apartment. They're there for a couple of weeks, and the cops end up surrounding the house because they get a tip off that these criminals are all in here. And
They were just like playing cards and partying loud. Right. Like that. Like
they thought there was going to be like a bootlegging operation. The cops did.
Oh, okay.
That was the tip. They basically thought they were going to catch some shady bootleggers. Because those dudes were just getting drunk and yelling. They fired off that crazy gun that they have, that bar. They let that thing fire off. And then so they show up thinking, you know, that, like, oh, we're going to catch some bootleggers, some shit right now. But really, it was just them being loud and drunk.
Yeah.
Just fucking partying.
Yeah, they're just partying.
Hanging out.
Which is pretty awesome because two of the five cops got killed. Obviously, they walk in on them, but they left. The gang left a lot of their stuff.
Yeah, this is how they get famous. Yeah. So they have a shootout,
right,
full on fucking shooting at each other, the whole deal. Blanche panics and runs out the front door, and the cops arrest her. And she kind of, like, I keep, like, in most of the cases, Blanche doesn't seem to have a cool head. So Blanche panics and runs out the front door during the shootout, and she runs like a block away, and they end up arresting her. Everybody else makes it into the garage, gets into a car, and they drive out and outrun everybody. But the cops find all these rolls of undeveloped film that they had been taking during their crime
spree. Which is where they got the pictures.
And it makes it to the press. So, like, the famous pictures you see of Bonnie and Clyde holding like submachine guns next to a car,
the first selfies,
or the picture of her smoking a cigar, which
with a pistol.
even the stuff that I've read said that she didn't smoke cigars. She was a chain smoker of cigarettes, but they just took a picture of her with a cigar.
Right. It made her look meaner.
And it made it into the press, and it made her look meaner. And so everybody thought she was like this cigar smoking,
fucking,
you know,
badass,
tough talking badass.
When they were shooting with that Browning automatic rifle too, the sergeant of the highway patrol, they had him pinned down behind a tree that had fallen over. And that rifle was so gnarly, it was throwing wood splinters into his face on the backside.
Yeah.
That's a hardcore gun.
Yeah, man. And splinters were just sticking in his face from the back.
So, and then they find a poem that Bonnie wrote called The Story of Suicide Sal, and it's really long and kind of bad.
but it got, it went into, because I read it and I was like, but it, the pictures, this shootout, their escape, this poem, it suddenly
it was about everything they were doing.
So it's like Bonnie and Clyde now. So this is the moment where they become like national media frenzy. I'm sure Hearst made $1 million on Bonnie and Clyde selling newspapers.
500,000 newspapers or something.
Fuck. Like just making dough.
Yeah.
But so this is where they get famous. And from this point on, it's just fucking shootout. I mean, as I was reading it, I was like, oh, this, okay, they're having a shootout. So this must be where they died. Nope. Okay, they're having a shootout. This must be where they died. No, there's nope. A lot of shootouts. They're having a shootout. It's like, oh,
and
my
they get
God.
Hit and stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking
they
rough.
They get hit in the leg, graze their face, cheekbones, head wounds, crazy stuff.
Yeah. So after that shootout and bust, this is where they end up getting in that accident, and that kind of ties into some stuff. So this is in June of 33. They're driving fast. I don't even think they were trying to escape cops. I think they were just driving fast and they were about to run into a bridge that was out. So he veers and they go down an embankment and the car catches on fire and Clyde and W.D. Jones climb out, but they can't get Bonnie out. So some farmers run down into the ditch to help and they end up dragging Bonnie out, but she gets fucked up. She's burned. Her leg is injured.
They said they don't know if it was the fire from gasoline or battery acid from beneath the floorboards, but it burned her leg all the way to the muscle, to the point that her leg contracted and drew up. So even for the rest of this this little rant that they go off across the country, she has to hop on one leg or Clyde has to carry her.
Bitch got a
for the rest
leg.
Of the time.
Holy shit.
So after that accident, her leg just
like I knew her
up.
Leg was fucked up, but I didn't know she just couldn't.
It was burned or acid burned.
She's like,
all
officer,
the way
you're
to
not gonna
muscle.
Hit a lady with the walker.
Right.
Bah, 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 bah.
So again, and it's this tight, weird family, right? So they end up holing up. Clyde ends up getting Bonnie's sister, Billy, and then Blanche, who apparently already got out, even though, you know, from the fucking shootout. But I guess she didn't do anything. She just ran out of the house. She didn't shoot at anybody. They didn't catch her for any crime. So Blanche comes.
She sent a telegraph
that
said, OMG, I'm out already.
Yeah.
BRB, pick me up. They did that.
They end up doing more crimes and fucking around, and then they end up in July. So this isn't even that fucking much longer. This is a month after the accident, so her leg must still be pretty freshly fucked up. They're staying at a place called the Red Crown Tavern near Platte City, Missouri, and it's Bonnie and Clyde and Blanche and Buck and W.D. Jones. That's
they're staying
the typical
at the Red Crown Tourist Court. That tavern is the restaurant where all the higher patrol hang out.
Oh, okay.
Near that place.
So,
W.D. got away and he actually ended up making W.D. 40. That's where he made his fortune.
That's right. That's not true.
No.
So they end up on June 19th, 1933. The locals are like, it's fucking Bonnie and Clyde. Like, there they are. So the cops end up showing up.
Well, they backed in. Like, the innkeeper was like, hey, they backed in. He called it gangster style. Like, they backed in for like quick getaways so they could just basically that little place was like two little brick houses with garages in the middle. There's actually a picture of it online.
Don't you mean
brick?
What the
house?
Oh, God.
She's my tomate.
Nope, that's not what I meant at all.
Okay.
Fourth tier, checking. Dave. Fourth tier.
That's because I'm first tier white now. You get it? You guys are on the same wavelength. You guys are both just ghetto enough to know some shit to that moment.
You were wondering about it earlier?
Yeah.
That just fucking proved it.
All right. I get it now.
So, okay.
But they taped newspapers over the window. He backed their vehicles in for a quick getaway. They had bloody bandages on him. Homie ran to Rite Aid to go get like cheese crackers and bandages and some weird
goldfishes. Yeah.
Yeah. Like some goldfish crackers and some weird medicine that I had never heard of. And so the pharmacist like tipped him off because there was like a telegraph out like, hey, anybody buys any bandages and apparently cheese and crackers.
He got marjoram for, chicken soup later.
I'll
keep looking, see if I can find that weird substance. I don't know what it was, but yeah. So they ran to Rite Aid. It might've been Walgreens or CVS. I'm not sure.
You guys are just reading off the Wikipedia.
That one.
Says, oh, okay.
Yeah. But I don't know the name of it.
I didn't know any of that.
Huh.
So they end up getting, again, so the police surround them. There's another fucking shootout. And I'm like, oh, this must be where they died. No, it is not. They get in another shootout.
Dave was like,
And then even in this one, I'm like, and then it like, so they get in a shootout, like massive, like worse than the other ones. They start driving away. Buck gets shot in the head. But doesn't die. Yeah. Like, and they drag him into the car.
Yes.
The tires get shot out. The window gets shot out. Clyde gets shot twice. The window gets shot out and the glass, because this is pre-safety glass, so there's just shards of glass that fuck up Blanche's face and blind her in one eye. Bonnie's got a bum leg, and they're just still doing it. So one of them's shot in the head. One of them's shot twice. One of them just lost an eye. One of them's got a bum leg. W.G. Jones is still just fucking chilling. He's kicking it. And they tear off, and they only stop, after like they drive almost a full day and they stop only to change tires and get new bandages. Right. So this is like, I mean, this is just fucking craziness. They reach Dexter, Iowa, and everybody decides to rest, and they stop at a place called the Dexfield Park Recreation Area. And a farmer finds more bloody bandages and tips off the cops again. And there's a third shootout on July 23rd. Did you have something, Brent?
No, I was just looking. He actually had a hole in his forehead and was still moving around. Like, he had a hole in his forehead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a real, like, Kennedy, like, dude had a hole.
Yeah, it went through the back of the head and came out the front.
Yeah, and was just still running around with bandages. Like,
he was still shooting.
So I'm calling bullshit on that kid I saw at the soccer park today.
Yeah.
All jokes aside, I hope that kid's okay. It seemed dramatic, though.
He got curb stomped.
So the other ones, right? So the first shootout was in... Or the accident was in June. Then this is July 19th. They got in this big shootout where he gets shot in the head. On July 23rd, the cops, the National Guard, local vigilantes, and farmers surround the gang. And
they're camping, right?
Right, they're camping. Yeah. So Bonnie spots them and screams and alerts everybody. So they all get their guns and start shooting the fucking cops again. And
she's like, "Yeah, copper, yeah, Shane, you're not gonna get me.
You're not taking me alive, Shane.
Ovaltine."
Fuck me up with Ovaltine.
Still my little orphan.
I know. We might have to play that.
Do we still have that?
I think so.
I'm sure we have it somewhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, this one, I'm like, okay, National Guard, vigilantes, local farmers. Okay, they're finally going to die.
Small militia. Yeah. Like,
yeah, small fucking militia.
Well, they were all really little. It was like a bunch of little Gary Colemans.
Had to work it in there.
Yeah. He was there too. Yeah. I'm just saying. He's everywhere.
He is everywhere. He's omnipresent.
Yeah. He's like a midget god.
So Buck, who was already shot, he is a midget god.
Somebody posted a video of Gary Coleman whooping ass. You guys see that?
I did see that. It was like fucking awesome.
Bitch slapping people. Fuck around.
Yeah, he doesn't fuck around.
Yeah, I gave him some more credibility. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, he's got cred.
Yeah. Street knuckles.
So Buck, who's already injured, is still shooting at cops. He gets shot a couple more times in this shootout. And as everybody gets away, Blanche stays because she wants to be next to him because he's dying. And then she gets arrested. And this time she's locked up for a little while anyway. She's out of the picture.
2 years, I think she did.
Is that all she did?
Yeah.
Okay. So she gets locked up. She's no longer part of the gang. But W.D. Jones, Bonnie, and Clyde swim for it. One of them with only one fucking leg. They're all shot
up. She's like a female Michael Phelps. It's like just one flipper just she's going. Just
fucking making mermaid noises.
Yeah.
What noise is that?
Isn't that a dolphin?
I don't know.
No.
I don't think so.
Not that I can make a better dolphin noise.
Cuckoo. That's not a dolphin?
No.
That was fucking impressive. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but that was cool.
That's the mermaid noise.
Yeah.
They make it out of their blowholes. at this point, they keep fucking going for it. They get away. And then W.D. Jones gets captured, but I didn't see how he got captured. Did you guys
see? Isn't this where they showed up on a farm?
Bear trap.
Because there were some cool interviews with little kids that were like now old old men.
I don't know. I didn't see anything about WD getting.
Yeah, they like they made it to a farm or something where they got a car or something. But there was like some little kids that are still alive, and they're the only people alive in the world that had actually been within that proximity of like speaking to them that are still alive.
That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
Yeah, it might be this because they keep going. So part of what happens here is WD Jones gets captured, and they get some information out of him, which is the fact that even though they're on the run, Bonnie insists on seeing her mom all the time.
Right.
And apparently Clyde did the same thing. So
yeah, they constantly went back to their family.
Yeah, they constantly went back to their family.
They kind of deduce that it's a big circle, like Brad said earlier. They figure out they'll be coming back around the mountain when they come.
Riding six white horses.
Yeah.
But the cops start staking out the parents, and then this apparently pisses Clyde off. And this is the first time I read of anything. He gets pissed that they're staking out his parents, and he decides the logical course of action is to go attack Easton Prison.
Yeah.
Stake out my parents, will you? Let's attack the prison.
He frees five prisoners. I don't know how you like plan that. Like, you don't have time to send a letter. You can't send a text. You can't call someone. Like,
he was going just to kill guards and release Raymond Hamilton. That was his goal.
That was his buddy.
He's gonna show up with that
and
gun.
They and shot some guards, and Hamilton got on him, and other prisoners also got in the car.
Right.
So there ended up being five prisoners that they ended up getting out, and then Henry Methvin is one of them who gets out and ends up staying with the gang.
One of the big crazy.
So they go to break out Ray Hamilton, who gets broken out and says, fucking peace.
Right.
And then they also break out this cat, Henry Methvin, who says, I'll join you. And he ends up sticking around.
On the gang?
Yeah.
J. Edgar Hoover, FBI. FBI doesn't exist yet. Federal law has no jurisdiction. It doesn't cover murder, guns, or bank robbery. What the fuck were they doing? No. It covered stolen cars. That's how they started to pursue the investigation against Bonnie and Clyde, was for car theft, taking a stolen car across state lines. That was the only thing.
Well, that's when states had rights.
Federal law.
That's when states had rights, though.
Yeah. Like, but federal enforcement, they had like access to real guns. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they could have stopped it. And he wanted to stop it because it was actually kind of like a poke in his eye. J. Edgar Hoover took it personal because he was robbing armories and taking military guns. Right. And he was like, I want to get this guy. But he's like, I got nothing on him.
Yeah.
You got nothing on him? He's killing people, robbing banks, doing all this shit. But they didn't have those laws yet.
Problems,
no one was that crazy and gangster to create and facilitate the laws and infrastructure to pursue that. He couldn't do it. His hands were tied.
Right.
Could only chase him.
But I think people like Bonnie and Clyde and Dillinger and Pretty Boy Floyd, like all these people, like this public enemy era, I think is what really gave the FBI birth.
Hoover
like,
got so crazy that he started to push and pursue and create what needed to happen to make the FBI. That was the birth of the FBI.
Right. So that he could stop people like this, you know? Because I mean, you have to imagine, it's like, on the one hand, they're being romanticized in the Hearst papers and everybody's like rooting for them because they're like, you know, fighting the evil law and they're like the Duke brothers or fucking whatever. And,
on the other hand, that's someone's dad.
On the other hand, they're fucking murdering people and robbing shit.
And that cop was someone's uncle. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, it was said though, that they didn't really just go and like walk up and kill people.
No.
They were provoked.
If they're backed into a corner.
Yeah. It's said that Clyde would always say it's better to run than to shoot out.
Right.
You know, but most of the time they ended up shooting out.
But when you're like doing a robbery a day, shit goes south.
Right.
Like, I mean, they were just,
I know. And you got slow tag alongs with their bum leg.
Exactly.
Always getting up in gunfire.
So again, so all this bad shit, like the super crazy shootout where Blanche gets arrested, Bud gets killed, you know, all this shit is happening in the summer of 1933. And once they do this fucking crazy shit where they break people out of the prison, they keep going on the crime spree all the way through till fucking the beginning of the summer of 1934.
Yeah.
It's like fucking missing leg, shot twice, and they're still just fucking doing it. I mean, they were...
Well, in December,
like they were just fucking
I think it was before Christmas. Clyde actually, like, he had been working on this thing, and it was like ended up being like a backpack, to where he could fit Bonnie in it, and they could get away quicker.
Shut the fuck up.
And that became the, like the baby packs that we carry today.
Shut your ass! I was totally following you for a minute.
I was like December. December in my notes.
I'm picturing some fucking Yoda on Dagobah shit. With
no,
Bonnie
it was like the baby carriers. Like it was that, but a little bit bigger, and he could fit her in it, and then they could get away quicker.
Yeah,
with her on his back.
That's right. And she wrote another poem, and I'm not sure, and it got to the press. I'm not sure how, but it was another poem, and this one really kind of romanticized him. And you can read both of the poems online. I won't go into it because they're really long.
In the movie, she was, and like I said, the movie was really romanticized, but she was sending stuff to a reporter. There was like a specific reporter that she was sending stuff to.
Oh, to make him famous?
Yeah, like she was giving her like, hey, this is what I want in the story, you know, that type of stuff.
Right.
Interesting. And,
but the poem helps to romanticize him. The poem, like, it talks about the fact that they only shoot people who have it coming. They're not ruthless. Like, people say they're cold-hearted killers and they're mean, but they're not. They're just on the run from an oppressive law and they're finding freedom and they're not going to stop till they die. Yeah. And they're going to be buried next to each other. And like this sort
love
of
story.
This romantic,
Romeo
you know,
and Juliet.
Tragic love story, yeah. Kind of a thing. But so in May of 1934, so this is almost a year after all these crazy shootouts and shit, they're still doing their crime spree. And at some point, they're hanging out with Methvin the whole time. And then they somehow get separated from Methvin during a caper. And
they killed two Highway Patrol officers, too, though.
When did that happen?
April 1st, 1934, on Easter Sunday. That's why it rang a bell. He's like, damn, that sucks. On Easter, someone found out their dads are dead. Like,
rough.
They were just like chilling, parked off the side of the road, and they were, said they were like making love, smoking cigarettes, and practicing their marksmanship shooting at birds.
I'm assuming you're talking about Bonnie and Clyde, not the two motorcycle policemen. Because at first I thought you were telling
they were making love.
You were telling me about the policemen. I was oh god damn.
Could have gone either way.
Things were different in the 30s.
But those two motorcycle cops rolled up, and then there was a guy there though, and I can't remember who the other guy was, but they shot
Gary Coleman.
It was Gary Coleman.
it had to be Methvin because he was the only guy still hanging out with
him. Yeah. So they killed the cops, and like there's some. That's when Bonnie first really got murder, you know, the murder rap put on her and a dollar amount put on her head actually at that point, because there's actually testimony later that says that Bonnie they couldn't recall her ever actually
killing anybody,
holding a gun and shooting it at anyone. She was kind of along for the ride. She took those pictures and that's why everyone does that. But someone said that she point blank walked up over one of the motorcycle cops and like shot him.
Yeah. So they got. I don't know if they got pulled over or what, but
they were already pulled over, sitting on the side of the car shooting.
Yes,
yeah.
they roll up. The cop
the
goes
cops
up,
had no idea what they're rolling up on.
Yeah, he goes up. Oh, you guys are okay. Cool. Right. Turns around and walks off. Stops. That Clyde gets out of the car, shoots him, shoots the other one. Bonnie gets out, walks up, shoots that one in
supposedly,
the head.
Someone said that
there was
I read
a farmer that was watching
that
from afar.
She didn't shoot anyone. She was like asleep in the back seat, and another guy shot
so
her.
So it's contradictory.
Yeah,
story.
Yeah they, another
they,
one.
What
yeah.
they based it on is they found a cigar with small teeth marks, which could have been Gary Coleman. But
he was there finishing the job that they couldn't
thought
do.
That it
those
was
guys are they just did dirty work.
Because that picture of her with the cigar, but like you said, she smoked cigarettes, not cigars.
Right.
So
yeah, the
So objection, Your Honor.
That Gary Coleman fucked me up.
Yeah. You said May. You're in May.
Oh, in May, yeah. So they get separated from Methvin. And at this point, I don't know how the law enforcement knows this, but they know they got separated from Methvin, and they figure out they're going to apparently this might be.
They get him in his truck somehow. They get his truck.
Well, they get his father's truck.
Oh, okay.
And this might be where the farm comes in, maybe, because they knew where Methvin's father was. They were like
right
they were hanging out.
Yeah, this is where it gets crazy because and you don't really know, but they were staying at the farm, at Methvin's farm. Because Methvin was already a runaway from the prison.
Mm-hmm.
So the dad was housing him. They were staying there. Ended up there was a bounty on Clyde and Bonnie.
Right.
So the dad, I think, turned in Bonnie and Clyde in order to get his son free.
To get something better for
yeah,
son.
Yeah.
Because like, I know that so they know that they're going to come back to the farm to hook up with Methvin.
Yep.
And they end up getting the dad's truck and they park it on the side of the road and pop the hood
and take the tires off.
Yeah. So it's like there's something fucking wrong with the truck.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, there were six cops and a former Texas Ranger with the awesome name of Frank Hammer.
And they have one of those Browning automatic rifles.
Oh, do they? Yeah, well, they caught up.
Yeah, he did wear Hammer pants.
Yeah, because the guy that they sicked on him.
Uh-oh. Here comes a Hammer.
Legit.
he had to like write a letter to the president or something to even procure that one rifle that, wow. that homie had three in the back
right,
seat.
Right.
But he got one of those rifles so they would at least sort of be even. So a bunch of farmers with shotguns that had one of those Browning automatic rifles.
Right. So they end up pulling up to the truck to see what's up because they assume it's their homeboy's dad and right. there's something wrong with his truck. And as soon as they get there, they just fucking surround him and open fire. And
they this shot, is finally. Someone said they shot him in the. There was one shot and it hit Clyde in the head. He was dead immediately. And that.
Oh, they kept shooting for.
But they kept. Yeah, well, they kept shooting.
Shot,
but they said they could
hear
Bonnie
times.
Screaming because he got shot in the head right away.
Right.
Like assassination status. Yeah. Like maybe some hunter with
it was
a
the same guy that shot
squirrel
Kennedy.
Rifle. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Lee it was Harvey. The same bullet.
Yeah. Yeah. Lee Harvey Coleman. Great, great grandfather.
This is a slippery slope, fellas. We're going to get a cease and desist letter from Gary Coleman's family. Like,
that would be the greatest thing ever. That
yeah, that's
get
getting framed.
Framed.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so getting framed.
Information of
did
character.
You see the sticker? You guys didn't see the sticker?
Not yet. Is it
not
done?
Yet.
Yeah, they've been done.
I okay,
they're
for
in
the
folder.
Record, I wrote this shit down
in
on
the
a
folder.
Fucking piece of paper and told James, watch when I get on the podcast, Brad's going to be like, oh, by the way, the sticker's done. They're in the folder. Congratulations. I know they're in the fucking folder. But saying it on the show like they've always been there doesn't make them
there.
Be there for two fucking
You're
months.
You're supposed to look.
They've been there for 3 days.
No.
Yes.
Maybe. No.
Yes.
No.
They've been there for 3 days.
No, because I did it yesterday,
days.
Fool. Oh, okay. You didn't even know. You didn't even know.
Okay, that's all I wanted is that they weren't really done.
Yeah, you
like,
tried
yes,
to calm out
the
bluff.
Day before.
3 days.
I
they've been in this since yesterday.
I so called that shit. I told James you would say, they've been in the folder. Why don't you just look in the folder? That's why I didn't ask because I hadn't had time to look in Google Drive because I had to replace my exploding Note 7.
I've been busy. What happened?
So I have no Google
did
Drive.
Dave shit on your page?
No, the Note 7. I had the fucking firebomb one.
Building 7?
I was a flight risk.
They should have called it Building 7.
Incendiary
it just blew up for no
device.
Reason. Yeah. It just blows up for no reason.
Well, there was a reason. Metal chips and a lithium battery.
Yeah.
So apparently they fired 130 bullets into the car.
Yes, they fired their automatic rifle until it was out and then all their rifles. Then they fired shotguns until they were out. And the car was, I guess, rolling off into a ditch, smoking and shit. And then they kept firing until the rifles were done. They dropped those. They all pulled out their handguns and fired those till they're
well, I don't fucking blame them.
For good measure, yeah.
This is, I mean, we already got into three shootouts of these fuckers. We shot one of them in the head and he still killed two cops.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. We gotta fucking, like, they're immortal.
You shoot Clyde in the head and he's still killing
like,
people.
Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Yeah.
So apparently for one thing that I read, there's a book called Go Down Together, which was written about them by a guy named Jeff Gwynn. And he said
that's
that
69,
like,
that, yeah, for the record.
On the scene, that the cops busted someone who was trying to cut off Clyde's ear with a pocket knife as a souvenir. And that one guy, and they were also trying to cut off his trigger finger, so that they could have him as souvenirs.
You know why?
And that somebody ended up getting locks of Bonnie's hair and cuts from her blood soaked dress so they could save them and sell them.
You know why they did that? Out of bitterness, because there was a bounty for a total of $26,000 that was supposed to be split six
it.
Ways, and everybody like reneged on the fuck thing. They didn't do it, and so they each got $200.
Yeah.
Instead of splitting $26,000,
oh, wow.
Each of those dudes that just rifled them down and caught the most notorious criminals got $200 instead of splitting $26,000.
Yeah. That's fucking.
So
lame.
They took souvenirs.
It says here that there was a Dallas sheriff that told Clyde about that gun down that was going to happen.
I saw something about that too. It was
yeah.
Like, oh, I hadn't seen that.
It's kind of crazy. Yeah. Well, actually, you can go on YouTube and watch the video of after they got shot. There's some amateur footage of the actual car with the bodies inside.
Yeah.
And the people walking around.
It shows
around.
Bodies
really
on
cool.
the side.
Yeah. Really, really wow. cool. Like
holes
it's actual
everywhere.
Amateur video.
I heard there's some discrepancy as to whether or not each person. Supposedly, Bonnie got shot with 53 bullets and Clyde 51. And they said any one of the wounds was fatal.
Right.
Like they just.
Right. They just fucking
yeah.
opened up.
Oh, they hammered them. Yeah.
So I think this adds to the fact that Gary Coleman had to be in the car because they would only fire that many bullets if there was a black man in the car.
Yeah.
So I think that just
yeah that was grounds. That was grounds. It was not grounds. Safe to be black people times. Right. And
So,
and they're afraid of little people.
That's right. That's
they got magic of some sort.
So the other thing that I read that was interesting. So after all this shit goes down, Blanche ends up getting released in 1939. So she ends up doing 6 years, I guess. And she marries a guy named Eddie Frazier, and she ends up spending the rest of her life. She works as a cab dispatcher. She works as a beautician. She's blind in one eye from that shootout that she got in.
Yeah, it was shrapnel.
And apparently Warren Beatty in 1967 wants to make this movie, so he tracks her down to buy the rights to the story. So she gets paid money for the rights to the story. So that, and it was a huge movie. Like in the 60s, the Bonnie and Clyde movie was massive.
I almost watched it. I saw it. Yeah, it was 1967.
And an actor named Estelle Pearson actually won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor for playing Blanche based upon her story. And apparently from the article I read, Blanche didn't like the movie because she thought that it portrayed her as like this screaming, like scared, dramatic person.
Kind of comes across that way.
Yeah, kind of. The history comes across that way. But apparently she maintained a friendship with Warren Beatty because they worked so closely on the film and they were still friends until she died in 88.
Well, they found so she had written while she was in prison, she wrote like basically memoirs into like a notepad.
The full story of her time with Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there was, other than
Did she publish it or?
No.
She died.
She gave them to her friend, one of her best friends.
And it almost got thrown away. Like this little old lady was going through like cleaning out her house because she was moving and she found a manila envelope.
And her son's like, that says Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, her son said that says Bonnie and Clyde. And he probably knew a little bit that like, hey, grandma's friends with that chick from the whole Bonnie and Clyde thing.
Right.
And so they opened it up and it was like a Christmas card. And they opened that Christmas card and inside there was folded paper. And when they opened it, it was her memoirs. It was all of her side of the story from inside the car. And there was no documentation until then.
Wow.
It was all just hearsay and like the cops going like, hey, they shot at us. They were 10 foot tall and they had machine guns, you know, because they were like, yeah, this is why we lost. You know,
they were
probably
mutants.
Right.
Yeah. They had shells and they were green.
There was 20 of them. They were shooting with their toes, man.
They were eating the bullets out of the air.
So, so that really changed the game because it gave it a completely different perspective as to the motivations and what was going on for real.
They drove for 24 hours at a time on little to no sleep. Never stopping.
Jesus. Yeah, like shot up.
Yeah.
Shit.
Well, no, this is like they just constantly drove. They never stopped.
I was trying to figure that out because they said he would drive. It was no uncommon thing for him to drive 500 miles in a day if he needed to. No problem at all. And then sometimes if need be, 1,000 miles in 24 hours. So I was like, damn, that's...
He just drove.
That's cooking it.
Yeah. That's in an old ass car on a shitty ass road.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I was trying to think about. Yeah. Like, that is no fun. And I mean, I've been in situations where I was like, damn, I don't know where a gas station's at, dude. I'm in some weird neighborhood. They're in the middle of fucking fields and shit. This is like not.
Right. Yeah, but you stop. I mean, like, you take off and there's a farm or something, and you get another car. Like,
right.
You would just steal a car, I guess. Yeah. But not if it's a four cylinder. I guess he'd siphon gas or something. Yeah.
No, fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And they would just drive and drive and drive and drive. Like, that would be no fun.
No,
like,
it said that for like that whole 2 year spree, they lived out of their car.
Yeah.
Like they would rarely stop anywhere.
And it was all due to Bonnie like wanting to stop that they would stop in camp.
Right.
Like that was the only times.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And so they wanted to be buried together, but it didn't happen. Nope. But the craziest thing is 20,000 people attended Bonnie's funeral.
Yeah.
No, it was more than that. They said 50,000 people viewed her body. And 40,000 people viewed.
I read 20,000 to the point that her family had extreme difficulty getting to the body. Like, because there were so many.
And I know they put their bodies on display.
Yeah.
Like so.
Maybe the viewing was more than the funeral, but the viewing they said 50,000.
Because I think it was several days. Like the bodies were out for several days, so people could view it. Which is like the fuck is wrong with people in the 30s? You're like going and looking at the bodies.
They were
cutting off ears.
No Netflix, man.
Jesus.
They need some vindication.
Christ.
Like, they don't want you to dump it over the ocean, some Osama status.
Were the person like that was like, hey, did you see Bonnie and Clyde's body? And you're like, no, they're not going. Like, I have a fuckhead over there.
Yeah.
Like, you
had a ticket.
That was like the thing. Like,
it was a nickel to go into the tent to see him.
It's fucking crazy.
I mean, to watch the news or like what was going on, you had to go to the movie theater.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, this was
to see some
spectacle.
Super tainted propaganda video
from
Yeah.
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 So, no,
the Spruce Goose.
It was like totally.
totally different than I thought. The Bonnie and Clyde story, I thought it was just the two of them. I thought they were straight up fucking bank robbers. Like, I didn't know it was like a whole gang, and it was just constant daily fucking low crime hustle, like robbing gas stations, robbing hardware stores, fucking the shit.
Like, anytime there was any money or anything to be had, like, they
and like I said, when I was digging into it, I was like, every single time there was a shootout, I was like, oh, this is it. I was like, nope. And then it was like, oh, Buck got shot in the head. And I was like, okay, so I guess he died. And then, like, in the next shootout, Buck shot two more cops. I was like, I thought he got fucking shot in the head.
I really didn't know anything about this going into it. It was interesting.
I saw, we went, was it a few years ago now, a couple years ago. I talked about my stint where we went to Magic Mountain for Fright Night. And then we left there at 11 and drove all the way to Vegas and stayed at State Line for the night to go to a gun show in Vegas and then drive back to Pomona for a Rob Zombie haunted house thing.
Nice.
And so it was like this like roundabout trip that we did. But when we stopped at State Line, the hotel there had Bonnie and Clyde's car.
Oh, wow.
And so like it was kind of crazy because it was just like, you know, those little velvet ropes.
Right.
Like that's all they had around. It's like I actually touched the car. Like it was that close.
Just full of fucking bullet holes.
Full of bullet holes, blood. I mean, everything. Like it's really cool.
Wow.
And they had all of like the memorabilia up, you know, on the walls.
Oh, that's the final car, I guess, since they were just choosing cars.
Yeah, it was the final car where they got shot. Pretty cool. I mean, it's a piece of history, you know, and it's right there in front of you. And there's museums you can go to. There's a lot of stuff. So,
no, it really just opened my eyes to like how it's like you think of the Old West as this fucking lawless time period. And it's like, I really think it was lawless until the FBI got founded. Yeah. It was like, it was just fucking shootouts and fucking. It was one thing when it was horses.
And then when it turned to machine guns and cars,
it was like, fuck, we got to put a stop. But so this was just some lawless shit right here.
It's when you study, like, we study two topics or whatever, and sometimes they're around the same time.
Right.
And you're like, wow, this was going on
at the exact same time this was happening.
This was going on.
And you're like, holy shit. Like all of these crazy things happened. This is Tesla was just ending his, you know, stint. Right. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like all of these crazy things.
He was just falling in love with
happening.
The laser pigeon when this was happening.
And World War II is just about to start, you know, like, or just starting up. Yep. Like this is a crazy time.
Yeah.
I wish there would have been Sophie King podcast when I was younger. I hated history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally would have listened probably.
Yeah. You got an F in history still.
Yeah. History had a lot less.
You're like, Gary Coleman was everywhere.
History had a lot less diarrhea, Gary Coleman, and F bombs.
Yeah. Spinning shit kicks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I guess we make it interesting. You missed it the first time.
No? Yeah.
All right. You want sponsors?
Yep.
All right. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce.
Indeed.
I used it a whole bunch this week, actually. I've been just living off omelets and protein shakes. It's working out. I'm totally dropping weight. I'm a champion. In fact, that's my middle name now. So if you need El Yucateco Hot Sauce, they sell it on their website. They sell it in Walmart. They sell it in Target. They sell it at your grocery store. And they have it at Amazon before you drive 300 miles. Unless you're on a Mushroom Vision quest and you want to see the spirit world.
Right.
So thank you to PrintDirtCheap.com. You can save 10% by using code SOFAKING. If you log on, if you need stickers and all the crazy stuff that they print, banners and flyers and you name it. Thank you.
And if you go to El Yucateco, you get use the code SOFAKING.
Same thing. But if you go to Albertsons, they won't do it.
They won't use the code.
You can tell them, can I use code SOFAKING to get 10% off?
Yeah.
You might get a stupid checker.
Yeah. Yep.
If they look at you funny, just put it in your pocket and run. Don't do that. So thank you to Darkside Graphics. Thank you to Dan Camrio Jiu-Jitsu. You can log on to armhunter.com. I'm doing this out of order. Thank you to Digital Creations. And
there's an order?
Yeah. And of course there's an order.
You're talking to tier one over here.
We're going to have to start over, guys. We're going to have to start over. Shout out to Joe and Steve at Float Indigo in Thailand. And Phil Baroni, thanks for actually responding to me and giving us that shout out. I think that's all I got.
That's it.
Hey. Nope.
Nobody gonna do for you. Pull the trigger.
Maybe. Maybe. You should pull the fucking trigger.
Pull the trigger. Ain't nobody gonna do for you. Pull the trigger. Don't hesitate, just shoot.
Yeah. Why Why you believe in the propaganda? Why everybody sound like they wanna be from Atlanta? Are you the voice of the echo? Are you the nail of the hammer? I be talking while chewing my beats. I don't mind my manners. Courses that fit the opera. That's why I need phantoms. I got my doubt at gunpoint. That's why I need ransoms. And I be handsome. That's why I got your girl before the money. Honestly, I thought I'd have 30 M's before my 20s. But I'm cool with how it's happening. Girl in San Fran who wants to cross routes with me. Like a young college Kaepernick. Treat the money like a ladder or I'm passing it. Cause my family's number one. Never put them number two. Trying to buy a house in cash for all the times we had to move. All the times my mom cried cause she ain't know what else to do. All the times she lost hope cause she ain't know what else to lose. All the times I shoot shots cause I don't know what else to shoot. Ooh, the trigger. Ain't nobody gonna do for you. Ooh, the trigger. Don't hesitate, just shoot. I'ma stay winning. I don't believe in luck. I believe that life's a buffet. Better eat it up. I've seen enough to know that I'm really about to blow. Never felt like an employee. Always felt like CEO. Even when I stacked shoes, I was never clocked in. Yeah, I always walked out, but I never walked in. That's a tribute to my headspace. And lately, my devils have been Spanish chicks in red lace. Doing brujería on me for 10 days. More like 10 months, but I got out of it. If I fall in love again, it's probably with a Saudi chick. But I keep my head up high and my middle fingers high. Yeah. Ooh, the trigger. Ain't nobody gonna do for you. Ooh, the trigger. Don't hesitate, just shoot. Ooh, the trigger. Ain't nobody gonna do for you. Ooh, the trigger. Don't hesitate, just shoot.